Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network, that is spelled N-O-S-H-I-P Network. I am your host, Steve.
I'm Em.
And I'm Paul.
If you want to be part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net and take a look at our contact page. We may include your feedback in our next cast. If you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes. You can also share us on Facebook or Twitter or any other sort of social media thing that you got going on. And I'd just like to thank everybody who has already done so.
Before we get started with the recap, this is a reminder for those who have been listening to our feed via the Thrace Relations feed or from thracerelations.com. We have moved to another website at noship.net, and this feed will cease to exist in April. So if you like what you hear with the Vikings podcast and you want to continue listening to us, please switch over to the Wild Hunt feed, which you can find us on iTunes. You can also find us, like I said, at noship.net and subscribe to our RSS feed as well as iTunes via that webpage as well as Stitcher. Okay, thank you. And now we'll move on. Okay, we're talking about Vikings Season 2, Episode 4, I, For, and I, which was directed by Ken Garrody again and also, of course, written by Michael Hurst. What did you guys think of this episode?
I hated it. It was fucking awful. No, I'm just kidding. It was great. I actually enjoyed this one quite a bit.
This really runs the gamut emotionally, this episode. I laughed. I cried. I got mad. Mm-hmm. It had a little bit of everything.
I thought there was going to be more I for an I. Mm-hmm. There wasn't really any of that.
Well, at the end there was, for Athelstan.
That was what was unexpected for me. I didn't really have expectations for Athelstan, but I really didn't see that coming. So
Yeah, that
totally blindsided me as well.
I kind of knew, I kind of had an idea that it was coming because the bishop says it right before they drag him off, you know. So I was like, well, maybe they're going to do this eventually. I just didn't think it was going to be this soon, you know, because, I mean, he got pretty fucked up at the end there. But as we've learned in Spartacus, you don't stop running.
Yeah, lesson don't stop and take a nap ever.
No.
Well, at least he wasn't by a firelight having sex.
In the middle, yeah. In a field.
Okay, we'll talk more about that when we get to that. So we'll just go ahead and start with the recap. So Rollo and his gaggle of refugees happen upon a farmhouse in their flight from Jarlsborg. Aslaug is reticent about staying at this farm, complaining that it is too disgusting for her and her children to stay. She wants to find some Earl to shack up with, which I actually found to be surprising and naive of her to suggest, being mm-hmm. that she's a prophetess. I don't know. I mean, she probably doesn't have any control over what visions she gets, but that just seems kind of stupid to want to go just shack up with some any random Earl.
Being a prophet doesn't really come into it. It's just common sense.
Yeah.
You know, Rollo sets her straight, though, pretty fast.
I think Everybody in the country felt watching it, too, the head shake of, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Rollo tells her that winter is coming, and they will only attract attention at an Earl's hall. Siggy tells Aslaug that they will survive this, and this roughing it experience will only make her stronger,
Don't worry, girl.
As her children.
Yeah, it'll make kids stronger, too. She's just being a little princess crybaby. Yeah,
exactly.
Is all it is.
Because really, if you watch through the episode, the kids are fine. They're having fun. They're watching something get butchered. She's the only one that's like, ugh, it's disgusting.
Kids love to get dirty. They want to see that kind of stuff.
I just think that there's got to maybe there's some reason for her behavior about that, because I think she's stronger than that, and maybe she's based on something. Maybe she's had a vision where, like, if there's certain circumstances that will, you know, foretell some sort of doom, and being in like some sort of dirty environment mm-hmm. is part of it. I don't know.
Well, she's always lived a life of people taking care of her. She's never had to cook. We figured that out because
that's
people
true.
Cook for her. So you take all the
niceties.
Yes. I don't know why I couldn't say that. You take that away, and, you know, she's got to live like a common person. Of course she's not going to like it.
This is the only episode where you ever see dirt on her. Mm-hmm. I mean, she even looks immaculate when she was given birth, so.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. like her hair's done just right.
Well, it seems more for her children than for herself, though. She was worried about them catching disease and
Yeah, well,
things
that's
like
an
that.
excuse of why she needs to leave. She was probably thinking about what's the best excuse for us to get out of here? It's the children. It's, come on, guys.
It's always
the
about
children
the kids.
Have to leave, not, I can't live like this. I deserve better.
It's not about me. It's about the young ones.
Exactly. I mean, it's a desperate move to try and leave because she gives it up fairly quick. If it really was about the kids and disease, she wouldn't have stayed there in the first place.
Well, I think she had no other option because she is worried about the kids. But she, we'll get to it later because her and Ziggy have a conversation, which
Yes.
tells me she doesn't give up. But I'm just hoping that this is going to make sense later because up until this point, she's been a very strong female character. And this is kind of like a lapse.
Well,
I feel
anybody that lives in luxury, even males, are going to be like, I can't live. Like if you put the king in not the Viking king, what's his name?
King Horik?
Horik. I mean, if you put him in a situation where he lost his lands, he's on the run, and then you put him in the same situation, he wouldn't want to stay there either. It doesn't have anything to do with male or female. It's just the upbringing. If you're raised in a life of luxury and you have to take a step down, you're not going to like it regardless.
So you're saying it's
if...
all about standards and what people
Absolutely.
Are used to. Nobody wants to step backwards.
Yeah, I can see that. And
I don't think it's going to hurt her
but
character.
It's got me thinking now that you said that because I'm wondering if it's just part of character development because you got to – just like we've already seen, like, Rollo kind of brought to his own personal hell, you know, in order to, like, raise him up into a hero. Maybe this is her personal hell that she's going to come through.
Absolutely.
And she's going to be a better character for it.
I don't think so. No,
I don't like her.
I don't. I think it's being set up to where we're trying to – the writers are trying to take her out of whatever favor that they might have already put her in to the viewer. And what there's – reasons for that, and we'll get to it towards the end of the episode, or reasons for my line of thinking.
Okay,
at any rate,
I'm,
we'll get to the
I'm
awesome.
Interested in this.
Okay,
so now we're in Kattegat. I don't think I say that right.
Kattegat.
Jarlabor gives a speech to the remaining people. He declares that Ragnar forfeited his right to rule since he broke his agreement. He says they will find him to be a fair ruler, and that he sees promise in Kattegat, being that it is a trading settlement. Borg spies the seer in the crowd of onlookers as he announces a bounty on Ragnar's and his family's heads. I was wondering if he heard the seer breathing, because the seer was all like,
ugh. I'm out of my dusty cave. I can't breathe. I mean, it's like the worst speech ever. It'd be hard to be a villager and hear it like, oh, I'll be good to y'all, but if you find the person, if you find his family... let me know, I'm going to kill him, you know, I'll
yeah.
put a bounty on him. He totally undermines what he said in his speech.
Well, yeah, yeah, he says, I'm basically going to be a fair ruler, but I'm also very petty and vindictive. I'll just put that out there right now. It's like, those two things can't go together.
Exactly.
And then he says, no one will discuss Ragnar unless you are, if you discuss him, then you are a criminal.
Like, Ragnar's so dead to you.
You're not
you
allowed to
talk
about
him.
So then he pays a visit to the seer. He's like, I saw you checking me out, and I was checking you out, so I thought maybe. It's interesting. I just want to say real quick that he wanted – when he came in, he was questioning the seer if he's foreseen the attack on Kattegat. And I think he was trying to feel him out to see if he's for real. And then the answer is not satisfying to him, but he still continues to ask questions regarding his own fortune. What were you going to say,
well,
Steve?
I was just going to make a joke, but it's passed. But like the way that Jarl Borg's demeanor with the seer, it changes because when he comes in,
quickly.
He's like, "Did you do this? Did you know about this? You know, did you see what did you see what actually was going to happen?" And then he kind of goes, "Look, if it's okay with you, I'd like you to tell me." If it's all right, you know, if the gods let you, what's going to happen to me? So it's almost like he's begrudgingly giving him the respect that he deserves and kind of saying, just tell me what's going on.
It's just funny that how does he expect the seer to not give him to fluff his feathers a little bit? I mean, he's not going to go, oh, you're fucked, you know, you're a bad person or anything, because that's the guy that's now in charge of, you know, the village. So it's kind of – and he gives him an answer of, oh, I see an eagle and this and that. And it makes him happy, but the whole time he's holding an eagle's, like, skull.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder It just makes me wonder whether or not he was honest or not, you know. You
Was
got to
it?
kind of make the guy in charge
I
happy.
Think he was honest. I think he was ambiguous, but he was honest.
It was an eagle skull?
It looked like an eagle skull.
It was some sort of bird.
Yeah.
Bird skull.
A raven skull.
Yeah, it seems like an eagle skull might be bigger. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, that was a big skull.
It had a really long beak.
Yeah, it was the size of his hand almost, you know, lengthwise. I think a raven's would be maybe like a finger length.
Yeah.
It's a good size skull. And, I mean, I don't know.
I think he told him the truth, but the way he delivered it let Jarl Borg interpret it the way that he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it as a good, oh, that's a good omen from the gods, because he wants to believe he's doing something that's pleasing the gods, because he doesn't want to end up with his head on the chopping block, which will happen. Not to get spoilery, but that guy's not going to make it out of this season.
I hope not.
And yeah, like you said, he tells him about the eagle. And the first time I watched it, I'm not sure if this is really true, because it didn't really read this way to me the other times. But it seemed like the seer was picking his words very carefully when he was talking to Borg. And Borg was just completely just focused on the eagle. Like, oh, the sagas, it's always a good sign. So
I got that impression as well.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yeah.
And then there's the licked hand.
Oh, yeah. How serious are you? Taste of duty.
Yeah.
Just taste it.
God.
I know.
It's just never not going to be completely horrifically disgusting.
So King Ecbert dines with his men of note. He wishes to talk to the Northmen in Wessex and offers his son as an exchange and hostage, but he will only do so if the Northmen deliver a hostage of equal value. And I thought it was actually interesting, and I like Egbert because of this, because he the argument he made to supporting the meeting with the Vikings was that they were once pagans themselves, and did they not still care for their families and children? He's a reasoning man, which I like.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can tell he has plans. I mean, he's not ignorant at all. So it's nice that he actually offered him up, and then he gives his son even an option, you know? It's like, if you don't want to do it, I won't make you. Now, granted, of course, his son's going to be like, oh, daddy, anything, but
I think, yeah, he gave his son an option. Like,
it wasn't a real option.
No,
of course not, but
everybody's
there.
Because
your bosses will give you options sometimes,
of course,
but you know that, you're suggesting this, that I could do this, but you mean you want me to do this.
It makes the task a little easier when you think that you have it. You know, an out. But I thought it was a nice move on his part.
I agree with what you're saying, though, about the pagan thing.
Yeah.
Because it's a good point. You know, not so long ago we were pagans, and did we not care about our families still?
Because
They're from the Saxons that came from northern Germany, the ones that Charlemagne had, you know, killed thousands of that I had mentioned before. And the Saxons are distant relatives of the Scandinavians. So they came from northern Germany and basically committed genocide in England, got rid of. There's no trace of the original inhabitants after that. Meanwhile, at the barn, Auslaug is having issues with dirt and disease. Despite Siggy, Auslaug is determined not to stay. And that's what I was saying before. Like, she's just like, I don't care what you say, Siggy. We're not staying here.
Yeah, I need a bath twice a day.
Yeah.
Some perfume, a bath, some people could cook and clean for me, and a room of my own. Because we all know when Ragnar comes back, he doesn't care who's around. It's Nookie time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very Spartacus-esque, you know. I'm making sure somebody's watching.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't like to watch other people necessarily,
no.
But he wants to make sure that other people are available to watch him.
So back in Wessex, the exchange is made. Ragnar is exchanged for Aethelwulf. And I love how Ragnar smiled at Aethelwulf as he passed him on the horse.
Yeah.
And then Ragnar is then led to King Ecbert with armed guards following close behind, seemingly to his discomfort. And Ragnar is also interested in the statues, which I liked about him. Ragnar is hilariously left with Ecbert in the bathhouse.
Yeah.
And I loved that scene.
That's so weird, though.
I was thinking about it yesterday because even though I hadn't seen this episode, I was wondering why he's always in the tub. I'm like, has he got a skin condition or something? Like that one French king that always took, I don't remember his name, but he always took baths and he actually was assassinated in the bathtub. But anyway, he, I think, is like Ragnar, where he likes to unnerve people. And that's what I got today. But what I was thinking yesterday was that what he basically said, he likes to get people completely stripped of all their defenses and on equal footing, as he put it. But, and I think it's a way for him to observe. And he was observing him pretty heavily when he took his clothes off.
Kind of creepily.
You can interpret it many, many ways.
I mean, all they needed was some Bee Gees playing in the background. It would have been something from Boogie Nights. You know, you could have the same effect by having them disarmed in a small table and have them sit across from each other. You don't have to always be in the it's dirty water. You know, it's just weird. It's just weird to me.
I understand the King strategy, Egbert's strategy in doing that. Because when people are naked, it's just a psychological thing. You feel vulnerable, so you're probably more open to suggestions. And if this is his house, you know what I mean? This is his bath. So if he's putting the suggestions out there.
Yeah, but we've seen him in the past with all of his counselors around him, too. So he's in it all the time. Why is he going to make everybody feel that way, though?
But it's not really going to work in this sense because Ragnar is just put off. He's not unnerved. He's just like, what is this guy
you think
doing?
This is going to bother me? I lick the seer's hand.
Yeah.
There's poop on it. He can't see.
The best thing about this scene is just the looks on Ragnar's face when he's like kind of just giving these sidelong glances at things. And he's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, you know, Ragnar has this confidence. It's unshakable. You know, he really smiles at death. And I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? I don't know if it's because he feels like the gods are on his side or if because he knows he's a badass hand-to-hand combat kind of guy or if some people just have a confidence that you can't take away from them.
It's
no
confidence.
What.
He's intelligent. He's skilled at fighting. I think it's just a combination of a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, he's just a good tactician. You know, he's not going to put himself in a situation if he doesn't have to.
Yeah, I agree with Paul. I think he does believe the gods are on his side.
And yeah.
And I think he actually thinks he's the son of Odin, for one. And then...
Yeah, I guess that would lend a good amount of confidence to anybody's...
At least that's what others think. At least I think Earl Haraldson would say that about him. And then... and then just also facing off with the British, you know, once they get hand-to-hand combat going, he knows. I mean, he's got his proof right there that he's more skilled in battle.
But there was a good little bit of comedy when the guards are kind of ushering him in, and he feels like they're getting too close behind him. He kind of runs up a little bit. It's just... The show is good at that. It doesn't have outright laugh-out-loud comedy. It just puts in those little things where you kind of smile and you
Ragnar
might giggle.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
He should have unnerved him back and like got into the tub and got relaxed and just kind of like farted real quick some bubbles.
And then just smile
just
and not
look
say
at him.
Anything. What were you saying?
That would have been awesome.
It wouldn't be so offensive if it hadn't gone through water.
Another thing I thought, and I thought this before, he doesn't talk a lot. You know, he's a very good silent actor.
Yeah,
Travis
he's got
Kimmel.
A good poker face. His stare is unnerving on its own.
Yeah, and when he asked about the statues, and they said that they really don't know, and that giants used to live there, those have to be Roman statues. I mean, it's a Roman bathhouse, and I do bring up history from time to time, but I casually read history. I don't do research for this podcast. I read history books because I enjoy it's like what I read before bed or something. It's not
it's
I
a
don't,
condition. She has medication for it. Don't worry.
But so I don't know if maybe they had forgotten the Romans and
well, it could just be the guards have no idea and they just didn't have an answer.
It also could be folklore and superstition, things like that, you know, because I mean, we're pretty far at this point in history. We're pretty far away from the common person knowing. I mean, we all know a good deal about factual history because of school systems and the internet and, you know, all the books that we can read and everything like that. But back then, I think what was handed down to you from your father and mother was a lot more prevalent in your mind than any sort of real history. If that makes sense.
Well, calling the Romans giants is apt. They were giants in their own way. So King Egbert asks Ragnar why they haven't left Wessex yet. Haven't they taken a lot of treasure already? Ragnar says he doesn't care about treasure and that he's curious about farming and that he's actually a farmer himself.
Did you guys get the impression that Egbert wasn't buying that?
No.
I thought he did, to be honest with you. Yeah, because not all warriors are just warriors, you know. I think, and it's such a it's such an odd thing for someone to say that obviously is, you know, they've gone through and killed, and he even calls him out on it. He's like, well, then are you trying to tell me that you're just in it for the land? And then they go on with their conversation. I really do think he believed it. I mean,
I do too.
You know, you just can't have a living off of fighting. Otherwise, they would have just kept pillaging. That's why he sat there and watched them. If they were just about the fighting, then they would have just kept going and taking more and more and more and then left. That's why he was perplexed. Like, what are you doing?
Why are you staying? Yeah, so yeah. You think he was satisfied with the answer?
I'd really
do. I guess that makes sense. The only reason I asked the question is because from Eckbert's point of view, this guy gets in your tub and tells you that he's a farmer. And you're like, you just slaughtered how many of my men? And you're a farmer?
Which makes him even more formidable, though.
True. Yes. Yeah.
If your farmers are doing this, Christ. You know?
That's actually, I don't know if I'll leave this in here, but I'm listening to a great courses on the Vikings from Audible, and he was talking about why was it, because I got to the warfare chapter, warfare and society, why was it they were so formidable? They actually, because the fact they could make that trip across the ocean in the first place, survive on that. There was only an inch of wood between them and the water, by the way. The bottom of the boat was just an inch. And they were in the elements. They're only eating like boiled food and salted food. Long trip. Anyway, and they also built the boats themselves, and they were so skilled at axes, they could throw like 40 feet and they would make like 3 gyrations before they hit their target, and they would hit their targets. They were great with javelins, so good with javelins that javelins would be thrown at them and they would catch that shit and then throw it right back. It was purported in many... What?
Nothing.
It was documented in different sources, so he's the professor of that course believes that it to be true.
You should leave that in.
But the fact that they're just farmers, but they're also a community that comes from one community together, and they are they're linked in that way. They're just.
But this is also, I mean, a time and an age and a culture where you couldn't just be one thing. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, somebody says, "I'm a secretary. I'm a cook. I'm a this or that." That's all you have to do to earn your keep, and then you come home and just live the rest of your life.
But you gotta hunt. And
yeah, back
else.
Then it's like you had to be a jack of all trades, you know. So you couldn't just be a farmer. I guess you know you had to fight as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess it makes sense.
You gotta defend yourself.
Answer my own question from earlier.
You gotta hunt for your food, and the farming wasn't all that great, so you probably have to venture out further and further.
And it's a participatory society, so when the village is under attack, nobody gets to go, "Hey, whoa, I just do the wood carvings. I'm going to go.
I just pulled a double shift in the smith. I'm going to bed.
I'm going to have some ale and lights out.
Unless you roll low, and then you can take a nap in the street." Or Ragnar, too.
Yeah.
Well, the terrain they come from in the winters, they experience. And, you know, when they got to France, when they start raiding France, like winters, there were a cakewalk for them. And
bastards.
That's what would fuck up a lot of the people they were fighting, because they couldn't handle the winters, but they're just like, this is nothing.
Yeah, you see where we're from.
And they're also good with provisions, because they had to worry about that so much with the winters up in Scandinavia. So like they were good at looking and seeing how much food they need and planning for things like that.
Rationing. That's a good point.
So, I went way off.
So we basically have to get to the point where King Egbert he asks him for the favor in return.
So he's curious about farming, and which leads Egbert into to propose giving him some land in exchange for helping the king fulfilling his own ambitions. And it sounds like to me he wants Ragnar's might.
Hell yeah! He could do a lot with a full army of Vikings. Plus his own men.
So we're to kind of understand that, like, King Egbert wants to join forces with him and kind of use the muscle to take over one of the other kingdoms?
That's what I took it as.
Something like that, probably. Probably Mercia.
Is that the neighboring kingdom?
It's north of them. That's where King Offa...
I mean, I guess it would have to be that, because if he's already king, it's not like he's got...
Actually, I bet it's Kent, because... Kent. I wonder. I don't know.
Well, it's just idle. It's idle speculation at this point anyway, because nothing's been revealed, but just that he is going to be going to war with some other group, and we can assume that it's not under his own kingdom.
If he even was actually going to do it. I mean, he could still just be trying to figure Ragnar out. It could be all just be, let's just, you know, learn your enemy.
Another reason why they're formidable is because being on the boats, where that they can ride up rivers and stuff like that, they're like 3 to 4 times faster than land armies. So they can really fuck you up. Like hit, then get on the boat, go.
Yep.
And they would get horses and ride to battle, dismount, fight, get back on the horse, ride to their boats, take off.
All us.
Wow. Yeah. So anyway. So back in the camp of the Northmen, Ragnar informs King Horik and the others of the proposal of Ecgbert. Horik asks what he wants in return, but before Ragnar can answer, a horn is sounded from the waters, and it's one of King Horik's ships bringing the news of Jarlborg's attack on Kattegat.
That sounded like an orc horn, too.
Poor Ragnar.
Yeah, he is shook up with that news.
Yeah, he immediately decides to return home, and Athelstan chooses to stay behind to aid King Horik with translation and negotiations. This disappoints Ragnar deeply and earns Athelstan more stink eye from Floki.
Oh, I know. And, you know, Ragnar felt betrayed, too, by King Horik, because if it had been his lands, he would have had Ragnar leave with him.
Oh, yeah,
and
for
go
sure.
back. So now he's like, greedy bastard. It's like Ragnar takes 2 steps forward, and then it seems like King Horik always drags him back.
Well, you gotta think about it, too. King Horik is also, he probably thinks that he should have been the one to have that audience with King Ecgbert. So he's like, well, this is kind of a fortuitous event. Hopefully this wasn't planned, but just saying.
It's interesting. You always speak for King Horik, because he spoke for him also on the last cast, in a way. You're able to see.
Well, it makes sense on that
I'm
angle.
Not speaking for him.
I know, yeah, but no, you're providing a perspective for him that I would never have come up with myself.
Well, like I'll just put this out here. Maybe this is better left for the end, but I'll just say it now because
absolutely.
Real quick. But like, what if King Horik and Jarlborg had this figured out? And
well, maybe it's not that he even had to have Jarlborg in it. He could just be a good tactician and was like, well, if I tell him not to come, you know he's going to, because even I called it, he's going to attack. It's just a move on his part of, it's going to give him all the right to attack Ragnar's people and take out somebody who's rising to power quickly.
So he's pulling a Palpatine. That's what he's doing.
Pretty
he's
much.
Just kinda, yeah. So, okay, so maybe you don't, maybe it's stretching credulity to think that they had this planned, you know, but it is,
it is a possibility. I didn't even think of it. That's really good.
I don't know. I don't know if Jarlborg's capable of that.
I don't know.
But he does seem cunning enough to do what Paul said and to think that, okay, well, if I tell him to stay behind, he's going to get pissy pants and he's going to invade the village. Then that news
Ragnar
is going to get back to
him. People are strong and they're just getting fat. He went through becoming an Earl fast. I mean, he was right through it. From far, and then his reputation spread quickly.
They could have a problem with that.
And if he's the son of Odin, I don't want him getting too powerful.
But we probably shouldn't spend too much time on it, because it's just speculation.
Well, it would, you know, if he had something with King Horik, it would make things seem reasonable that he did that without having a backup plan for when Ragnar shows up. So he would be assuming that King Horik would have his back at that point.
Who knows? Either way, it's a cool way to look at it.
So meanwhile, with our favorite son of Ragnar, Bjorn delivers the news of the invasion of Kattegat by Jarlborg to Lagertha. That's how they say it in the show. So
Lagertha.
He says Ragnar will return to fight for his land, and they should help him. Lagertha says they can't because it is not her husband's quarrel. I'm not even going to try to say his name. I was surprised she was trying that argument again about not being his quarrel. Kind of bothered me, actually. But it's okay. She makes up for it later.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So moving on. No thoughts on that. Okay.
No, it's pretty straightforward.
So Rollo arrives back to the barn after seeking men willing to fight against Jarl Borg. But he only found 30 warriors. Not enough to drive Borg out of Kattegat, but perhaps sufficient to torment him by attacking outposts and disrupting supplies before Ragnar returns. And also by making sure Borg never feels secure in Kattegat.
That's a good strategy, actually.
Oh, absolutely.
This gets him laid by Siggy. More importantly, Rollo says that his brother Ragnar forgave him, which is something he thought was impossible. And in turn, he found in his heart he always loved his brother and that he had learned that he was actually hating on himself during that time.
Well, they finally broke through the barrier and they gave us the Rollo that we can get behind 100%.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That was a good scene for that reason.
I just hope he stays there.
I hope so too, but they've already given him a good bit of a journey, so hopefully he's turned the corner for good.
I agree. I think this is the Rollo we're going to have unless his brother betrays him.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. That might not happen.
I'm still wondering, just because what was said at the beginning of mm-hmm. episode one makes me think something like that's going to happen. Lagertha prepares to use her wiles on her drunk husband and talk about helping Ragnar and taking back Kattegat from Jarlborg. He angrily replies he is not interested in anything that has anything to do with her ex-husband. She tells him Jarlborg will not stop with Kattegat and sooner or later will attack him as well. The brute talks about ownership of her body and tries to rape her. She deals with him rather effectively, and then she tells him he should treat her as his wife and not as a whore.
Knee to the balls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seems to punch him in the face, too.
I think it's funny that her son's listening outside. I mean, it's not funny that she's about to get raped, but the kid, obviously being Ragnar's son, has heard her have sex quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I was just imagining in his head, like, that's not my mommy's happy sounds.
I thought the same thing.
Those are her happy sounds. I'm going to kill them.
Like, up until a certain point, it was okay. Because, they do some rough stuff. They're fighting and they're having sex. But like, wait a minute. That wasn't right.
That wasn't happy. Right. And she's not even taken aback. Like, okay, he's usually around when this happens.
When she opens the door, and I like the shot of how they had a shot from below, mm-hmm. like that passed up through the knife to her face. I thought that was really cool to show how she saw the knife. But she tells him to go to bed and that her husband will not harm her because he's asleep. But she kisses her son and thanks for him being willing to protect her, which is sweet. So now we're in Wessex. Athelstan retreats to his tent after being disgusted by the Northmen drunkenly raping women captured in Winchester.
Yeah, it seems like the camp has gotten a little rowdier since Ragnar left.
Yeah. His positive influence has left. He picks up the Bible he has secretly hidden, and when he sees an image of Jesus on the crucifix, he sees the blood.
Stigmata.
Yes, the stigmata, and it makes me wonder if he's a bit of a prophet.
Could be.
So,
I was expecting him to kind of run out of the tent and confront the people who were mm-hmm. raping the women, but the scene passes and he doesn't do it.
He wouldn't have been successful.
No,
yeah, I mean, I can understand why, but...
King Egbert is informed that some ships of the Northmen left Wessex and that the Viking forces are divided. Aslaug is still intently fighting the circumstances of the life in their refuge home. Okay.
Is this the scene where she doesn't want the kids to see the animals getting butchered?
Yes.
Which shows that she's soft because it's just a butchering of an animal.
Yeah. There was no PETA back then.
Well, yeah. It's not like they're educated about disease, really, even though she mentioned disease earlier. But
yeah, but I mean, at this point, they're going to be able to butcher an animal and not have to worry about disease as long as that's done right and quickly, you know?
I don't even think it was an issue of disease with her. I think it was just distasteful and seemed to be beneath her. This is mm-hmm. something that the servants do behind a door.
Exactly.
And then when the door opens, I get a cooked meal.
Kind of like people nowadays.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to eat meat, but how many people want to go to the slaughterhouse to watch them actually process
it? I don't. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know.
But if I had to, I would do it myself. You know, it's one of those things. She doesn't want her kids to see it because, I mean, she's never had to do it or see it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not getting her, so.
Well, you know, she's a princess. It's perfect.
I still think they're trying to cast her in a negative light, just a little bit.
So Helga sees the arrival of Ragnar and his men at Floki's home. She will bring them to Ragnar's family, but first they need to rest. She learns, as well as we do, from Floki that they lost some men on the journey home.
Floki cracks me up in this part, because, remember in the episode when he's riding the boat, he's actually enjoying the storm itself. He's almost like Lieutenant Dan during
it. Yeah.
But when he sees his girl, he sits down and has that moment of, oh, you know, we saw this and this. He's a really good storyteller. And it's almost like, I didn't have too much fun. this is what happened. Love on me a little bit. You know, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
So you're saying he's playing Helga for the sympathy
absolutely.
Angle?
Absolutely.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, I mean, he didn't, even when they landed, you know, and went into England, he wasn't too remorseful or anything. He was just kind of like, yeah, it was a storm. We lost some people. That's the only time that he was like, oh. You know, he's just really – it's somebody to listen to a story, especially his girl,
but
his
to actually
wife.
Hear men screaming and drowning, you know, it's a little –
yeah, but he never showed any other emotion.
But high def, I don't know.
Maybe he was waiting for her to unleash some of the pain.
You think what you want.
I know. I like Floki, so I thought it was a great scene. Fantastic.
Athelstan and some Northmen are hunting in a beautiful forest that I really want to visit now. When they are attacked by bowmen, Athelstan manages to flee, and he finds some measure of safety and then falls asleep, only to be awakened by arrows when he is found by King Ecgbert's men.
And of anybody who can escape a situation, especially this situation, it's him. All he would have to do is keep running, and then the second he's got some time, strip down to your skivvies, make it like you were swimming, or just act like a drunkard.
Or and you were raided by the Vikings.
How would they know you weren't one of them? Why do you have to tell them or keep the Viking clothes on? Just act like a drunkard that passed out in the woods.
A half day's journey and you'd be outside of that kingdom. Yeah. You know, and then you're still speaking the language.
Well, it's Athelstan. He doesn't lie or anything like that.
Well, he's a Viking now and he needs to learn how to, how to get out of a situation. I mean, it's just I thought of it when it happened. It's like, oh, great, he's going to stop and sleep. And everything's all good. He should have just stripped down. I mean, there's a lot of different avenues he could have taken to get out of it. Run to a city or a village and just go with your top off and act like you've been hunting. There's other ways he could have gotten out of it. I just think it was poor. I honestly think it was a little bit of poor writing for him to get caught this way.
I don't know. I think, you know, it's kind of it shows a naivety on his part that he doesn't realize that he's the other now, you know, even from his own kind. And he probably had a little bit more faith in where he came from, hoping that they
would. But even the bishop realized he was going to get caught. You know, I mean, he owns it to a fault. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Because after they crucify him, they bring up.
Well, I mean, I just think from his perspective, that was one person. I don't think he was going to, you know, assume everybody thought the same way as the bishop. And I just think he might have, like, expected a better reception than he got.
He was the only one wearing black in that whole hunting party.
Yeah, he was.
Little Luke Skywalker.
Goth. Were you going to say something? Looked like you were leaning in and out. Okay. So Ragnar is finally reunited with his family. Ragnar and Aslaug talk of her prophecy ability. Then he wants to have sexy time.
She kind of rubbed it in his nose like, see? Hmm? But I like his answer on how he's like, oh, this is a good thing.
Yeah, it's a blessing, not a curse.
I mean, can he see out of that eye? I'd take one like that. That'd be kind of cool.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, you talk about unnerving somebody, just give him the one eye. You know, it'd be fucked up. I wouldn't know how to look into it. I'm sorry. Whatever I did, I'm sorry.
Stop that creepy at me. Eye. Stop.
Yeah. Maybe he's got some distorted vision that's helpful. He wants to have sexy time, but she says something about 3 days and he doesn't care.
3 days and maybe all the people in this giant building are going to get out of here, you know?
Why 3 days? Do we have any insight into that?
I don't know.
I know you're not supposed to have sex for so many months or weeks.
After a birth,
and maybe there was still 3 days left because that's an infant child.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way she could tell him no. It's just kind of like off the top of her head, like.
Yeah, because if she's breastfeeding, she's protected for birth control. That's birth control right there. So it wouldn't be like the.
I think it's just a quick answer of no. Because, I mean, there's a lot of people. That's not just like, okay, there might be somebody in the other room. Your kids are there. Your sister-in-law's there.
I don't want to have sex in the dirt.
No. Yeah. There's just too many people there.
She wants to wait until there's like a nice fresh set of sheets on a bed.
Something. Yeah. I'm dirty.
Yeah. You're dirty. Because you look at his hand on
he's
her thigh.
He's always dirty.
Yeah. And it's like it looks like he has brown skin. Yeah. You know what I mean? He hasn't washed in weeks probably.
He's such a guy too. You know, his whole like come on to her is so bad.
But it's warm.
Yeah. I want to feel the heat of you.
Just a minute. I'll be fine.
All right. Jarlborg. No, wait, I didn't finish there. Okay, so he doesn't care, or I already said that, but he's interrupted anyway. Ragnar angrily tells Rollo he wants to kill Jarlborg.
Well, Rollo, I mean, you guys, Rollo comes in again at the worst moment for his brother, like, God damn it. I told you 5 minutes. And I thought he was gonna yell at his brother, like, why are you still alive? Why is it, why didn't you defend better? But luckily he was just so focused on Jarlborg that he didn't. I thought he was gonna chastise his brother. I really did.
I think he probably thinks Rollo did the right thing.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
hope
I'm
so. I hope he
glad.
knows
I
that.
just didn't know. I was like, well, poor Rollo, you know.
Yeah, because at first you don't know because he's like you
He storms
outside.
out, yeah. It's like, fuck. And even Rollo get the, oh, here it comes. But he handled it well. And he
Yeah.
has a good strategy for his brother.
Well, he says they have too few men at this point to do so, to actually like fight him head on. Jarlborg is informed of Ragnar's return in Scandinavia. He tells his men Ragnar's vanity will kill him, but then he says, no, I'll be the one that kills him.
Showing his own vanity.
Yeah. That's why I just don't know about the King Horik thing, but
Well, you never know.
Athelstan is crucified by the Bishop of Wessex for his betrayal of Christianity.
Great job on the makeup because I didn't even realize it was him at
I
first.
thought it was a dream at first.
I did too because of the way it was filmed. That's like the cliche dream sequence style of filming.
Yeah, when he's about to be finished off with a spear, King Egbert arrives to tell them to spare his life and to cut him loose, despite the wishes of the bishop and the crowd, which I thought was cool because the bishop's like, what do you guys think? And everybody's like, crucify,
And he's the
crucify. And
only
he's
one that
like,
didn't go down to one knee. You got to
yeah, the
remember the way the
bishop.
Catholic Church is too.
Yeah.
You know, they had a lot of control
Oh,
over
yeah.
royalty, so it was interesting. And I think that's part of the reason. I mean, I'm sure he wants to get as much information as he can out of Athelstan, but I think it was good that the bishop said, you know, we should kill him because obviously he doesn't like that guy. So he's like, no, fucker, cut him down.
So what is actually going on? Now, we had the scene where King Egbert's advisors are letting him know that a bunch of the ships have, you know, taken off back to Scandinavia.
So he takes
And then
advantage.
he takes advantage of that, and that's why they were firing arrows at the hunting party. But
Right.
why did they let this one person live? So I guess we're going to have to wait till next episode to find the answer to that, but.
Well, and even Athelstan, when they find him, he starts speaking English and tells them, look, I'm one of y'all. So instantly, they're going when they do cat and he surrenders, so there's no need to kill him. It's just a great. Great piece of, I mean, you got to think strategy. That's somebody who you can speak with, who's lived with him for several years now. You're going to get the whole dynamic of
The same thing Ragnar
Ragnar.
did with Athelstan,
Exactly. Now
why
he's
he
on the
kept him
other end
alive.
of it.
That's a good point, yeah.
As Athelstan, when he described King Egbert to Ragnar, what did he say? He's a man like you.
Exactly.
So,
And the bishop unfortunately got to him first. There wasn't a cell phone to call the king to go, oh, we got this guy. He was like, fuck it, kill him.
this has got to be the last coffin in the nail, though, for Athelstan's
Yeah. Last
nail in
Christianity.
the
Now
coffin.
he's got
Or, yeah, last
nobody.
nail in the
He real
coffin.
well, not just Christianity, everything. He's got nobody because now both sides are going to hate him. Ragnar's not going to take him back if he starts working for this other king.
It's going to make him an even more interesting character.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out with him. I don't. Oh, it's going to be bad for him. Either way, Floki's going to end up killing him.
I was surprised they crucified him, honestly, but
You
I don't.
think? I mean, considering what he did before he went with the Vikings, it's kind of fitting.
I just wonder if that's like if that was what they would do.
Why not? The Romans had did it for centuries,
Romans weren't
crucifying people.
Christians at the time.
Yeah, but it's
They did
still
it
there, though.
specifically. The bishop said they did it.
Because he's an
He was
apostate.
an apostate. He went from being a Christian to being a pagan heathen, and that's the punishment for that specifically.
So there's like that you've heard of that happening?
You know, I can't say for sure, but
Well,
I
how
think
many
that's what they
times
were
in
trying to tell
English
us.
history do you hear somebody doing that with the church that's not a king anyway, though? So, I mean, to find that written down and documented is going to be hard because who's going to go against the Christian church
Yeah. I don't
other than King Henry so he can get freaking divorced?
married and
Yeah.
divorced all over again.
So it's going to be hard to find any documentation on it.
I don't know for sure. I'm not saying that,
No,
you know,
it makes
as a
sense though.
fact, but I think that's what they were trying to relay to us as the viewer, is that the reason why he's being
I know
crucified
the
is.
reason, but the actual act, I'm wondering if that's
Don't know.
actually historically
We'll have
accurate,
to
if
look
they
it
would
up.
actually do that as
It,
Christians.
I think it fits. If I was somebody in that position, And you have a cleric of some sort leaving the Christian church and then coming back and killing a bishop and raiding a really sacred church. That would be the way in my book. If I had to choose a way to kill somebody to prove a point, that would be the way to do it because it's just terrible. I mean, the crown, they went all out, crown of thorns. They were going to kill them with the spear in the side.
You know, later on during the Inquisition time, they're burning people at the stake. Well, yeah. They're hanging them. You don't hear about them crucifying
no,
people.
No, but to think about it, if you're going to teach someone to not turn on Jesus Christ and you want them to remember what Jesus Christ did, you're going to put them on a cross like Jesus Christ.
So a pack of warriors is approaching the hiding place of Ragnar's family.
A gaggle. No, I'm kidding.
A gaggle.
I said a gaggle early on. Floki thinks it is Jarlborg.
He doesn't even go for his army. He's just like, all right.
I got a knife and an axe.
I'm good.
And Helga's like, who is it? And he's like, who do you think it is?
Are those streaks on his face tattoos? I meant to ask that. Do you think they're supposed to be tattoos, or does he just have, like, sticks his finger in the ash at the end of the day?
I do think it's makeup.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite sure.
Cool.
And I don't know if Ragnar has, like, superhuman vision, but he... Even though Floki's like freaking out, like Ragnar can see them off to a distance and he smiles to himself and then he starts running over toward them. And that's where we learn it's Bjorn and Lagertha.
You just pronounce it how you want to.
So Ragnar jokingly asks who Bjorn is and then gives him a big hug. Ragnar is proud seeing that his son has become strong and wise. Bjorn says now that with both his father and mother back in his life, he feels reborn. Somebody put on Twitter that, so is he re-Bjorn?
Oh, that's good. Clever. Very clever.
I know, that's hilarious. I retweeted it.
So. He's Bjorn again.
Bjorn again. Touched by this Dang moment, Bjorn. Ragnar embraces Bjorn once again before walking off. And he also gets a little jab into Lagertha there, or Lagertha.
What does he say?
He's like, too long. It's been too long.
Motherfucker, I just showed up with an army to help you.
That's what I said. I was like, he better be thanking her pretty ass next episode.
That's all right. She'll knee him in the balls.
Remember last season when she's at the village at Kattegat and everybody's dying from this disease and she's holding it all together while he's off God knows where making treaties with,
and
you know, the king and screwing Oslaug and everything. She's holding the fort down. Mm-hmm. Again, she comes back to save the day with the army that he needs to retake the village. And what's he got for her? Just like a little jab at her. Come on.
I know.
She's the real hero of this show.
At least the other Earl took the shot in the nuts and was like, all right, fine, go do what you want to do.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, obviously he gave the blessing because the other warriors wouldn't have just gone with her. I think he realized, okay, I can't push her around anymore. I think it was just kind of like a quick way of going, she's got a little more control than we thought.
There are some things that they kind of just do quickly.
Mm-hmm. For time's sake.
Like King Horik's Torvald finding them. Like how, I mean, they got blown off course, you know, and that's how, because.
Well, I didn't think they could go without.
How did they find him?
Ragnar. I didn't think they could travel without Ragnar. It's the first time anybody's gone without
him. That too.
We'll give him that for the story.
Yeah.
You know, we sit there.
Well, I'm pretty sure he disseminated the technology out to everybody.
You think? I wouldn't.
Well, at least the people who he could trust who are on the raiding party with him, because if the ships do get separated, they all need to meet back at a certain point, or else you're going to be ineffective.
But this is somebody who came from Scandinavia.
Yeah, that would be their first time doing it, too.
To tell what happened.
And they got blown so far off course.
Yeah.
How does he know? But, hey, it's all right. We needed him to go home. I did. I was ready for Ragnar to go whip some ass, so.
Yeah, it's fine.
I can glaze over it.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
But I did wonder, because, I mean, where they went originally was like at the tippy top of North, you know, England, and now they're like at the very bottom of England, so it's like big difference.
I'm willing to gloss it over, because I think that method of getting there has been shared behind the scenes, just to make sure that, you know.
That's fine. I can be behind that, but. They got blown off course.
Right. So and then what they do, just, what they
and
do
they
is
probably
they just,
went up some streams too.
Possibly. Yeah. But I mean, it's been weeks.
Or rivers.
So
maybe they've been looking.
I don't know.
Interesting though.
It is. So any speculation for upcoming?
Well, they're going to go get some fucking Jarlborg. That's for sure.
Yeah. He's not long for this world.
I don't think the eagle's what he thinks it is.
No.
Considering there's an episode called
Blood Eagle. He's
probably going to
get diphtheria and get sick from licking the steer's hand, and that'll just be the end of him.
he'll be dead before they get there. I think the reason why they're painting Oslog in such a negative light in this episode is not just to show us that she's a dainty princess who doesn't want to get her hands dirty, but because there's going to be a rekindling of the romance between Lagertha and Ragnar, it might be slow to develop, but their stories have converged. You know, they're back in the same frame again. So I think it's a setup for that.
I think we'll have a power struggle again. I think that it's going to be interesting to see. I'm going to go the other route with when both kings meet, what direction they go. What's the king I can never remember.
King Horik.
King Horik, I think, is going to screw up
anything
they had going on in England. I think it's...
Well, King Ecbert's already screwed that up.
To an extent. We don't know if it was the Pope or the Bishop that sent out that hunting party. You know, we don't know if it was the Bishop taking a little bit of the matters into his own
hands. I think it was Ecbert because he was informed,
think?
And then he was basically saying our prayers were answered.
Okay.
That's why
okay.
I think
well,
it's
that
him,
makes sense.
Based on that
How
short
do you think
scene.
About that? But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't have any faith in the Viking King. So
yeah, he's kind of a wild.
If he even
card.
Makes it out of it, he might not make it at all.
Oh, yeah, he might have died during that.
Mm-hmm. They might just raid it completely.
Arrow attack.
Or you know what they could happen is that they use Athelstan's information to wipe out the rest of the Vikings that are in England.
Hmm. Which could lead the way for Ragnar being not just an earl, but being
a king
as well somewhere down the road.
She says it in this episode, Ragnar's next and then you. So maybe they're trying to remind us that if anything happens, then Ragnar becomes king.
Who says that?
Lagertha, whenever she sits down with her husband at first before it gets violent.
Oh, no, she's like, talking about Ragnar's next on Jarl Borg's list, or you're going to be next because he's at your doorstep.
I was thinking of the king type.
Like, why would he stop just at Ragnar,
basically? So I don't know. Maybe
Jarl
Borg brings more troops, and we've got a bit of a longer fight.
So. Either way, I don't see him survive, unless they save it for the finale or something like that. But between Ragnar and Rollo and now Bjorn and now the fighters that have joined, the 30 people that they already had, I think that's enough to retake the village.
The other king comes back with his boats, right? The last
if he
minute,
does, yeah.
Yeah, across the loch to get to him.
I think there will be a rekindling. I'm going to agree with that. And I think also Rollo is going to come into play. Maybe that's where the betrayal will come. Maybe Rollo will finally start to have something that he's always wanted with Lagertha.
Yeah, but she's going to cheat on her husband. She just doesn't seem like that kind of person. I just don't see that happening unless she killed that motherfucker or she's definitely just like, okay, I'm going to leave. But she's kind of leading his men as a shield maiden. It just doesn't seem in her nature. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
She's very loyal. Now, unless she left him because of that, then yes. But in the information I've got now, I don't see her cheating because
right.
she left him for sleeping with Auslog. Auslog would have to leave, like gone, for that to happen.
Well, we can keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, I agree. I want him to leave him too.
I think she'll be all right in the end. I think
people are going to die. That's
they made us
predicting.
Dislike Rollo for a while. I think we're just.
Yeah.
They're doing that with us.
Maybe Auslog goes back with the kids. Nah, that ain't gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all I got as far as speculation.
They kind of leave it wide open.
Yeah, I feel like my speculation was pretty weak now, and I don't have anything else to contribute. Yeah, it happens.
I think Ragnar's going to have sex in front of people again.
this will happen, yeah. There'll probably be some dead people next episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Go out
We're
going to
go
limb.
With some dead people.
Well, maybe next time what's going to happen, he's going to go back to England, and this time he's going to bring Bjorn, Lagertha, and Rollo.
He can't go back to England
Leave
for a while
Siggy
until
and
he Al-Sago. Takes Jarlborg out.
Yeah.
He's got to kill Jarlborg. He has to.
Oh, yeah. He won't think of doing anything else until he does that.
He needs his lands back.
And the thing is Blood Eagle, called Blood Eagle, the episode's still a couple episodes away. So there's going to be, if that has to do with him.
I can see them doing one episode, you know, next week's
one
episode being
the
not, the setup, but not the actual fight. But then after that, it's got to be.
It'll be more England. And then when he come back to Blood Eagle, it'll be more.
Yeah.
Yalbor getting it. Then he'll need the collective to help defend himself.
This is a good part for people to write in and give us some feedback and add in what you think was going to happen. And then, you know, we can read it.
Oh, yeah. And I would love to give somebody credit for actually coming up with what happens.
I know.
We'll tell them. Tell us what you think.
They're still feeling us out.
Yeah.
You know, they're still feeling us out. We'll be all right. Just don't feel too long. Herbert, you guys are dirty.
The next episode is actually called Answers in Blood. All these episodes have really ominous titles.
Yeah. It's like the good chapters in books, you know, that you can't wait to get to when you read the table of contents. They give us some good episode names.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening again, and we will talk to you next week.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.